Gerard Williams Show. Coming to you live.
Hey, hey, my friend. This is T. Gerard Williams, the host and executive producer of the T. Gerard Williams Show. And I just want to let you know, I've already kind of given you a heads up on who our guests will be on the call today. And so you've already had my Facebook blurb, and I've already told you that that this was going to happen, and all you had to do was just put your ears on and stay in tune. So here we are. Today our guest is the prolific author of several books. His name is Abraham Azrieli. And so, Mr. Azrieli, are you on the line, sir?
Yes, I'm on the line. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it is our pleasure. As I was saying to the audience, I've already put some Facebook feelers out to let people know that we were doing a live call in with you, and they were already anticipating and expecting this to happen, and so we are glad to have you on the line today. So, sir, can you tell me just a couple of things about yourself before we get into the interview?
Absolutely. I'm an author of primarily novels. My latest, Deborah Calling, is my 12th book, and I am a writer of both fiction and nonfiction, and a couple of screenplays in the past. I also have a couple of law degrees and practiced law for many years before becoming full-time author.
Oh, that's exciting. Now, I was looking over your bio, and I think I might have saw something that I want to talk about a little bit later, but before I do that, let me just ask you, what is Deborah Calling all about?
Well, actually, Deborah Calling is the second novel in a series of novels I do for a publisher called HarperCollins. And the series, which started with my previous novel, Deborah Rising, features a very interesting historical figure named Deborah, otherwise known as Deborah the Prophet or the Prophetess. She appears in the Book of Judges in the Bible, and she lived about 3,200 years ago. And as far as I can tell from all the research I've done, she's the first woman in recorded human history to be a national leader. And that's unique, obviously, because that happened at a time when women had no rights and no chance of rising anywhere.
Now, that's absolutely correct. Now, as a pastor, also, I mean, you didn't know that, but as a pastor, I am actually excited about the fact that you use a historical, biblical figure. So let me ask you this. How did you become interested in Deborah's story?
I actually grew up in Israel, and I used to go on many trips, mostly hiking trips, in Israel, in Judea and Samaria, in areas where the Bible is part of the fabric of the land. You see a lot of archaeological diggings that unearth beautiful old communities that are described in the Bible. I grew up studying the Bible, studying the Jewish scriptures, and I've always been very attached. So it's a natural territory for me to write about, though it is the first time I'm going so far back. My other novels are either contemporary or historical novels of, you know, World War II or the history of Israel, of modern Israel. So this is, for me, a new venture, going back, so far back, to ancient Israel. But it's very exciting, and the response from the readers have been wonderful.
Well, you know what? It's really interesting to me because, as I said, as a pastor, a lot of times people think that the Old Testament is just a bunch of historical facts and nothing that's relevant to today, how things are in our society. So how, in the story of Deborah, how is it relevant to our time and our society today? Because I think you addressed that in your book, so how's that?
I think it's tremendously relevant. First of all, we just had an election last year in the United States where we had the first time a woman was running for president. And even though she was not elected, it is a historical significance. And in general, you see, even in the West, in Western countries such as the United States and Europe, women are still struggling for equality in pay, for equality in opportunities, for equalities in reaching high office. And this is only in the West. Now, if you look at parts of the world where women are not as fortunate, look at the Middle East, parts of Africa, even in the Far East, many women are still living as if they were in biblical times. No rights, no property rights, no freedom, no opportunity beyond anything that's controlled fully by their husband or their father. So I think it's very relevant. And the response I get from female readers is very telling, because they can see a lot of the challenges that Deborah was dealing with, according to my view of what happened, are very relevant for women today.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I would think that the story would resonate well with women, and certainly that they would be, drawn to a story like this. So that doesn't surprise me. But one thing, what was the most surprising thing that you learned in writing Deborah Calling?
First of all, what's surprising, and I think that's true for a lot of writers of novels, is that your characters come to life. And they're real people, at least for you and for the readers, if you do your work well. And Deborah, for me, you see, there was a puzzle that I was trying to solve, because in the story as it's told in the Book of Judges, we only see Deborah show up as an adult. The Bible just says, during that time, the Canaanites were oppressing the Israelites, and there was this woman named Deborah who was a judge, which is a political leader as well as a, judicial leader. She was a prophet, and then she fought a war between. She was a military leader as well, and after that, she liberated the people of Israel from the Canaanites, and there was 4 years of peace. So we only have an adult. And what I'm speculating in my novel is really the path she went through as a young person. The first novel, Deborah Rising, starts when she's 13. So we are accompanying her on her path, and this is obviously very adventurous and not very easy. Life in ancient Israel, in the ancient world in general, was very difficult, especially for women, especially for girls. So this is the journey that I came up with. And she's still going through it, in which she developed those exceptional skills and resilience that allowed her to break through the glass ceiling and reach who she eventually became, according to the Bible.
Outstanding. Now, let me ask you another question, and I don't mean to make this like a question and answer session, but my listeners were drawn to the fact that I gave them a lot of information about you and about the book, and so I know that they're really interested in knowing how much of what you wrote in Deborah Calling is true and how much is fiction in her story.
That's an excellent question that readers always wonder. And the first thing that I always try to do is research as much as I can about the period in which the events took place. In this case, I did a lot of reading of archaeology books, history books, and surprisingly, there is a lot. There is even written materials from Egyptian archives, written in stone, from Hittite and Mesopotamia. There is a lot of material that you can find. So in terms of how people lived, the events, the way of life, what they ate, how they traveled, how they interacted, all that, I do a tremendous amount of research to make sure I get that right. Because the readers want to know that the story is authentic, even though the main characters may be fictional or based on historical figures. Obviously, the dialogue is fictional. Some of the events are, I invent them. And of course, readers expect an adventure. They expect a suspenseful, exciting story, and that's the goal of the writer. But the background is, as much as I can tell, as much as I can achieve with research without actually going back in the time tunnel, is as accurate as I can do it.
Well, to my listeners who just tuned in, shame on you, first of all, for being late. But we are interviewing today Mr. Abraham Azrieli. And he's the prolific writer we're talking about his second novel in the Deborah Rising series. The book is called Deborah Calling, and what it outlines itself to be is an inspiring historical adventure about the first woman to lead a nation in human history. And so far, we've been intrigued about some of the things that we've been hearing and we've been listening and we have been exposed to so far. And I don't want to miss a thing, but just want to get my listeners to know that, as usual, I always ask you to tune in and to make sure that you have writing material, that you have pencil and paper, that you can go ahead and write down information, because in just a few minutes we're going to find out how you can get a copy of this book and some of the other books in the series, and certainly to find a way to contact and get in contact so that we can support this author. And certainly we are always throwing our hat in the ring of those who are doing wonderful works in the literary world. And so let me get back to our discussion. Now, interesting, you say that if there's a good part of fiction and a good part of true isms in the book. Some of my listeners are interested in becoming authors, and certainly I don't want to throw any kind of shade or any kind of cold water on their dreams. So I'm going to ask a writer, a prolific writer such as yourself, what is the key to writing good historical fiction, because that's your area of expertise?
I think there are many keys, obviously many tools. I would look at it as a toolbox. And I think that the first thing is to write about something that interests you. And that can be very individual. People have different interests in historical times or even in current time, different areas, maybe different trades. So that's the first thing I would say. If something really interests you and you have a story in mind, you don't need a license. You can just sit and write your story. And the second thing is do as much research as you can about the period if you're writing a historical fiction, so you get it right. Because if you want your readers to believe the story and be completely immersed in the story, you have to make sure that all the facts surrounding it are correct. And that gives you credibility, and it allows the suspense to really flourish to the full extent.
Excellent. Well, what's the key? How do you keep the intensity of the plot throughout a novel? That's an interesting question for me.
Well, that again is something that's very challenging, and it's fun when it works. And what I do usually is I try to keep the story moving, especially if you're writing an adventure, a suspenseful adventure. A lot of things are happening. And readers actually do want to enter into the character's mind and hear her or his thoughts. All that is good as long as you keep the pace. Especially in today's world, people are accustomed to a very fast pace. People don't sit and read very long books anymore. There is, a barrage of news snippets, and people look at their phones, and they're used to things happening very fast. So I try to adjust to that kind of communication. When I write my books, I try to make sure that the book is interesting, that the boring parts are left out, so they don't make them their way in, and that things move, that the suspense is there, the curiosity. What is going to happen next to this character that we really care about? I think if you keep that going, readers love it, and when I hear back from readers that they enjoy it and they were captivated, or they couldn't sleep at night, that makes my day.
Yeah, that sounds good. As an avid reader, I understand what you're saying. You know, a lot of times we're moving to that fast-paced, easily distracted state in our lives where you don't want to sit down and read a book anymore. You're relegated to, like I said, a snippet here and some blurb over there. And so it takes a good book to actually hold your attention long enough to want to continue turning the pages. We don't even do page turning anymore. Everybody's doing the e-books or the books like me. You know, you just read audio books particularly. So it's good to have a book that you can actually sit down, read it, and be transformed into the book itself, to just become a part of it, just want to know more and more about it. So let me ask you this. What was your very first book that you wrote? I mean, I know you're doing the Devil Rising series now, but what was your very first book?
The very first book I wrote, actually, is called Your Lawyer on a Short Leash. And it's a book about, it's a guide to clients who need to work with lawyers and hire lawyers about how to do it, how to really utilize lawyers, how to hire lawyers, how to employ them, etc. And it's obviously with tongue in cheek. There is some humor, but it's a very practical book, and I wrote it while practicing law in New York City. After that, I wrote a very different book, a history of a family in World War II, a family that was really a mother, very strong and confident mother with seven children and a husband who went through World War II. Very exciting adventures. That was called One Step Ahead, and it was actually later made into a musical. That was kind of my early beginning in writing. But I want to touch on something you said before about e-books and about audiobooks, and that's a terrific point you made, that today, actually for my readers, most of my readers read my books as e-books. And many of them actually listen to the books while driving, for example. So I make sure that my books are available in all formats to reach as many people as possible, and that works out well.
And that is wise. That is really wise, because that's the kind of life that we're leading. You know, with the very fact that you can go to iTunes or someplace like that and download a book and listen to it while you're driving or while you're doing something in the house, cooking or cleaning or whatever you may be doing, you can still be captivated. And it takes a good book to do that, because a lot of times you'll find that some of the e-books are just fluff and stuff and just doesn't keep your interest or keep your attention. So I'm actually glad that you have put your books in those types of formats, because that's actually excellent, especially for my listeners, because we're audio people as well. Now, I'm an avid reader. I read. I like a book that I can touch, but I also don't mind listening to audio when I have a time. So that's great. That is really great.
It's interesting you mentioned that, and an anecdote I can mention here is that a couple of my books, my novels, are suspenseful novels involving where the main hero is a motorcyclist. He's an investigative reporter in Washington, D.C., who rides a motorcycle as his means of transportation. And a lot of the plot revolves around the motorcycle and the suspense and action that happens. And I got a couple of responses from readers who actually listened to those books as audiobooks while riding their motorcycles. So that's a nice kind of circular connection that is just a very modern world kind of a thing.
That's excellent. Let me ask you this. Deborah Calling is the series, in the series Deborah Rising.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't touch on what Deborah Rising was about, so I'm going to ask you a two-pronged question. The first question is, can you tell me a little bit about Deborah Rising, and then can you tell me if there's going to be any more novels in that series?
Of course. So Deborah Rising started the story of Deborah, as I imagine it, when she was 13, and her sister, actually, the beginning of the story, her sister was standing trial for something she didn't do, and actually is being executed by stoning, which was the method of execution then, while Deborah is witnessing this. And this is kind of the starting event that launches Deborah on a search for her own freedom and her own power. And for a while, she actually wants to become a man. She says, you know, I don't want to be a girl. I want to be a man. And part of the first story is she's seeking somebody who is called an elixir. He makes elixirs that can turn girls into boys, which, you know, we can believe or not believe it, but that's what she's believing and that's what she's seeking, which is an extreme solution to her terrible situation. But that's part of the beginning of her journey. And Deborah Rising is really her first assertion of independence. She escapes, she goes on a journey, she confronts terrible dangers, and she prevails, and then she has setbacks, and she prevails again. Deborah Calling, which is the continuation of her journey, is really where she realizes what her true calling is. For her, it is to become a voice for God, for faith and for justice, and speak to the people. Again, that is something that only men were doing, and she has to overcome that, but that this is the true calling that she believes she must follow. And that is really the second novel. And it involves tremendous adventures and suspense and violence and all the, you know, difficulties that you can expect in the ancient world for a girl struggling on that path. But that is really the essence of the story.
That sounds wonderful. Then that begs the question that I have to ask. How can my readers, sorry, your readers, how can my listeners find out more about you and your novels?
Absolutely. Well, my novels are all available wherever books are sold, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, as well as really any outlet on Indie Direct and independent bookstores, on iTunes, etc. And to find information, first of all, you know, you can look by my name, which is Avraham, A, V as in Victor, R-A-H-A-M, and the last name is Azrieli, which is A-Z-R-I-E-L-I. I also have a website. That's a wonderful place where people can find a lot about me, about the books, and I also love to hear from my readers. So my website has a contact page where they can communicate with me, which I really enjoy, and I hear from people from all over the world, really. And that website is my last name and the word books. So it will be azrielibooks.com.
Okay. I'm writing that down because I believe that if I would write down information, my listeners were writing down information as well. But I know my listeners, and I know that some of them did not have pencil and paper. Some of them were not ready to write that down. In fact, I brought that in at the end of our conversation here as a way of throwing them off balance and throwing them off base, because normally in the middle of our conversation we would always get that contact information. But I want to say this to the end simply because I want to drive the point home that your books are all over the internet. There, you can get them at Amazon and anywhere books are sold. That's a great point. But the contact information that I wanted them to get was to be able to contact you and reach out to you and to leave comments about what they're reading in your novel. And so once again, that was AzrieliBooks.com, A-Z-R-I-E-L-I, Books.com. So make sure you go and check that out, my friends, to make sure that you are finding out not only the books that he's already done, but the books that he'll be doing in the future as well. So having said that, I want to ask our caller, if there was anything that you wanted to say to the listeners who are listening right now who need to have a good book to listen to or read today, what would you say to them?
I'm always most passionate about what I'm writing now. I love all my books. It's like having children. I love all my books, but I love the most recent ones. So I promise it will not be boring even for a moment. Deborah Rising is a very fast story, even though it takes place in ancient times. It's very fast and exciting and adventurous. And I would recommend starting with Deborah Rising and then reading Deborah Calling.
Perfect answer. I love it. I love it. I do. All right. Hey, my friends, this is T. Gerard Williams once again, and we have come to the end of our interview with Mr. Avraham Azrieli, the author of a lot of books, but the books that we're talking about today is Deborah Calling. So having said all that, this is T. Gerard Williams, your host and the executive producer of the T. Gerard Williams Show. And as always, I'll see you when I see you. Bye-bye now.
If you're talking about it.